Good to see you tonight. We're thankful that you're here and appreciate this opportunity for spend some time now in studying God's Word. We welcome the visitors that we have among us. We appreciate very much that you're with us and hope you'll come back and join us every chance you have as we want to discuss a subject that it seems like I'm sure it's not more prevalent, but it seems to be everywhere these days in a variety of ways. And you know, peer pressure, it kind of feeds upon the fact that everybody wants to be accepted, it seems like. I mean, it's natural to desire to be approved and to by friends or associates or colleagues. But that peer pressure to conform at times can turn into a very bad thing. Now, we're told from a good point of view, it says, let us consider one another to stir up love and good works. So when we talk about encouraging one another, we're not talking about what we're talking about tonight. We don't want to try to impose peer pressure as the reason that we do something good, but rather to influence and encourage. We're talking about something different tonight. We want to give righteous influences to one another. Think about one another, he says. Give consideration to helping each other, love one another, and to do good works in our lives. But what we're talking about tonight is our pressures to take wrong paths, as Proverbs 1 says, as the sinner to enticing and trying to lure us to be companions with them in their sin, and to pressure us to go along. And peer pressure, we see it exerted in schools now. Our young people and parents are being, political system, it's truly sad to see that intimidation and manipulation seems to be how many things are accomplished these days, as if it was the right thing to do. It's not at all the right thing to do. And of course, Christians face and must resist these sinful pressures to join in and be a part of, to give acceptance and approval of the things that the world are doing that are against the Word and will of God. So let's define our topic here for just a minute. You've got to know the enemy if we're going to be effective in fighting it. Peer pressure is social pressure by members of one's peer group to take a certain course of action, to adopt certain values, or otherwise conform in order to be accepted. I don't want to sound like a broken record, but these days the LGBTQ++ communities, those who are talking about diversity and inclusion and equity, are some of the biggest bullies and intimidators and using peer pressure upon people that I think we've seen in our generation, in my life. That rather than respect the freedom to differ and to engage the issue, no, you've got to conform or you're a bigot. You've got to conform or you're racist. You've got to conform or you're isolated. You're ostracized. You're a homophobe and on and on. Name calling. All of that amounts to peer pressure to try to break you down and get you to conform or be silent and say nothing. It happens religiously. Sadly, sometimes it happens in churches. And it's not at all the way God expects His people to act. God's people are to hold against that. And that's just, that's just one societal illustration of what we're talking about. Talking with some parents this morning of children right here, and they're facing the pressure in school, to accept the transgender agenda, to be accepting of little boys that wear dresses, of the pronoun circles, and all of that gender fluidity and such. Real pressures upon the little ones and upon the parents. We need to pray for them. We need to help encourage them. We need to fortify them in every way that we can, because truly the tactics of the world, they take no prisoners. And Satan, of course, is behind all of it. His tactics are intimidate, manipulate, sometimes entice, you know, with acceptance. And don't little ones want to be accepted? I mean, you know, little ones in school, they want to be a part of everything. And that's a good thing, but that can be used to manipulate them into accepting things that are simply sin. And it doesn't stop with young people. We'll make the point here as we go through this discussion. Sometimes ridicule is used to pressure. As I said, you know, call people names. You know, name calling, that's a bullying tactic. That's an intimidation tactic. It's a peer pressure tactic to silence you or get you to go along. And so they call you a biased or a bigot or a Bible thumper, you know, or some other pejorative, some other derogatory word. Sorry, big word. Well, what do we do with that? Now, you know, we can... Well, sometimes we got to develop a thick skin, you know, and some of that roll off our back, right? And sometimes we also need to stand against it, obviously, and respond to it. You know, sometimes peer pressure comes in the form of offering you a benefit. And that's where Proverbs 1, you know, do you see the benefit that's offered there by the sinner enticing the son, and the father is trying to teach him to see that and to avoid it. We'll have precious possessions. Come join us. We'll fill our houses with goods. We will lavish ourselves. You'll have a lot of benefit if you run with us. But if you don't run with us, you're going to be outcast. You know, children feel that in school, cliques and groups. Unfortunately, sometimes that happens at the workplace. Kids grow up, they do the same thing. Do it at work. Kids grow up and do it in churches. Shouldn't be that way. Not at all. See, all those things amount to peer pressure. Amount to get you to conform in these less than righteous and admirable and noble ways. Think about the youth for a little more with me. You know, social media is the driving force in so many young people's lives today. It's incredible. And the pressure to conform has led many to kill themselves because of online bullying and those sorts of things that have gone on. Young people have always had the peer pressure issues, even before the internet, you know. When I was a kid, and when those older than me here were kids, it's always been around. It doesn't stop when you're young, but you know, when you're young, you can get pulled into disrespecting authority. You know, you can be drawn into, pressured into, well, in a lot of places, joining gangs. Los Angeles or Chicago or Seattle or Bellingham. Young people are drawn to the collective. And unfortunately, sometimes the violence that comes along with that. Peer pressure. Drugs. Sex. I mean, all of those are put out there to the young people. And it's really... It's just crucial that we as parents, we as older Christians, help our young people, guide and teach them and show them choosing those paths bring harm, they bring trouble, they do not profit and benefit you, they're going to bring a lot of pain to you and those that love you. And yet, it's a very strong influence upon the young mind that's developing. It hasn't matured yet. And that's why it's so critical for parents grandparents, for us as influence over young people to help shape and mold the values and the emotions and the thinking in godly ways, and not to bring those characteristics into their character as they mature. But you know, as I said, adults are just as susceptible to peer pressure. Whether it's dishonesty on the job, to be drawn into immoral conduct, to be drawn into disbelief, you know. The pressure of friends to go along as adults, starting, you know, to even deny God. It's not something that ends when you turn 18 or 28 or 38. Those influences are always there. And so we got to continue to see that these issues affect us as adults. If we're not careful, we can be drawn into joining the bandwagon. That's really the tactic of all of it, is join the bandwagon. You know, close the mind. Don't need to hear anymore. You got to be this way or you're out. You just got to be this way or not. That's not, you know, we need critical thinking. We need examination with a standard of truth. But you see, peer pressure is not about that. Peer pressure is about pressing you to go along and otherwise ostracizing you, separating you out. And adults fall under those temptations. Christians do too. Doctrinally, the pressure to conform to a doctrine that is not in the Word of God is a strong one. It is divided whole brotherhoods in the past around the globe. Moral divisions, moral pressures to accept social drinking, to accept immodest dress, to accept the social dance. Those pressures can become very hard. I can relate times when young people here, who are now old people, older people, growing up, had to face the pressure that some of the Christian girls were going to the dances, and others were being taught, "No, you shouldn't do that." Now, there's a conflict. There's a pressure there. Right, huh? My wife experienced that. Maybe some of you have too. See, the consistency of truth affects us as Christians too. And this pressure to conform doctrinally, morally, socially, the church is affected by it too. You see, all this peer pressure thing, it all boils down to, we're going to try to, with this pressure, manipulate you, shape and mold you, and if you don't agree and if you don't conform, then we're not going to have anything to do with you. Well, we know what it is. We've seen it growing up. We see it around us as adults. But let's go back to the Scripture now and see some of the Bible warnings against this and how the Bible talks about some of this. The law of Moses prohibited the use of prohibited yielding to pressure, to such pressures. Exodus 23 and verse 2 says, "You shall not follow a crowd to do evil." Don't follow the crowd to do evil. But peer pressure is exactly that. They're trying to get the crowd tries to get you to come along with it. Jump on the bandwagon. You know. And we see it politically. And we're in the political season. I guess we always are when you talk about government and politics. You're always in the political season one way or another. And, you know, if you don't conform, then you're just the worst person that ever was. And we got to be discerning. We have to have the spiritual discernment to see when the crowd is doing evil and not follow it. say, no, I'm not going to be a part of that. And that means we have to use wisdom. The son, the father in Proverbs is teaching his son to be wise and turn away from it. Go back to that text. You see, he's appealing to him to apply this knowledge so that when they do try to entice you, oh, come on, join us, that you'll have the wisdom and the ability to see beyond the moment where they're taking you. And say, no, I don't want that. No, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to be a part of that. But the pressure is strong. The pressure is forceful. We have to work hard in to hold to the truth and the standard of truth, and in wisdom turn away from those pressures. Proverbs 4, 14 and 15, he'll go on to say, Proverbs 4, 14, do not enter the path of the wicked. Okay, you got a choice. Don't walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. There's something more important than being accepted by the crowd. There's something more vital to your spiritual existence and success than saying, everybody's doing it, I'm going to do it too because I don't want to be left out. There's a truth that, remember, Jesus said is a narrow way and few find it. The broad way is easy. A lot of people on the broad way. We have to choose. The pressure is significant to walk the broad path. Don't make waves. Go along. Who do you think you are? Right? Pressure. You know what? The Bible says we need to know the power of influence. We need to recognize it and remove ourselves from it. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:33, familiar passage, he says, don't be deceived. Evil companionship corrupts good morals. The company we keep, if it's evil, can corrupt us. Awake to soberness and do not sin. Wake up. Some don't have a knowledge of God. A lot of people do not live and make decisions based on knowing God. They make it based upon themselves, upon the moment, upon a benefit that they perceive, rather than what God says. The warning of the Bible is, choose the path of righteousness, because you see, the path that is broad leads to death. Don't be deceived. Look at a passage in Proverbs 12:26 with me. The Bible warns us we can avoid peer pressure if we're careful to choose our associates. If we'll be careful to choose our spouse, who we're going to marry. If we are careful about choosing our friends, who's going to be in our life to influence us. If we will choose our associates carefully, based on truth and righteousness. Look at Proverbs 12:26. It just plainly says, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. Carefully choose your friends. You say, oh, well, I know what the truth is. It's not going to bother. They're not going to have an influence on me. That's foolish to think that worldly people will not have an influence somehow or another. That you've got some bubble around you as a Christian and they can have no impact on you. Of course they can. Of course they can. So choose carefully who your friend is going to be. Now, you want to be, here's the point. We want to be friends to everybody. We want everybody to be our friend. No, we don't want everybody to be our friend. There's some people you don't want to be your friend. Because they're not a friend at all toward you. We got to discern the difference. Are they going to help you obey God? Are they going to help you make righteous choices? Are they going to influence you in what is noble and just and good? Are they going to lead you away from truth and righteousness and God's will? Psalm 1 and 1 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." Friends give counsel. If your friend is ungodly, you expect him or her to give you Bible counsel? Don't walk in that way. Don't stand. He says, "Blessed is the man who does not stand in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. His delight's in the law of the Lord, and on His law he meditates day and night." You see, we need to choose people who do that. Delight in God's law, who meditates on His will. Pressure is great to conform. You know, young people fall in love, and it's great pressures to yield, to give way, to compromise faith, righteousness, godliness. But the end of that is sorrow, sadness, conflict, or compromise, and destruction. Now, sometimes the opposite. Sometimes you can convert that person. Work on converting the person. If they're not interested in obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, at some point, you've got to decide, is this person going to help me go to heaven? When they don't meditate on God's law, when they don't want to follow God's word, be careful. Choose your spouse, your friends, your associates wisely. The Bible warns us over and over about the dangers of peer pressure. Well, now, I've lost the term that I was going to use. Senior moment. Okay. I'm gonna look at this point, this now from the standpoint of some Bible examples, some failures and some successes where there's peer pressure at work. We talked about Noah this morning. Think about Noah from that point of view. Some of it was discussed, I think. You know, Justina brought up a comment, I think, about some of that in our discussion this morning. Noah, he faced a lot of pressure. I mean, everybody around him, their thoughts, the intents of their thoughts was always evil. Who could he go to and have a close friend that would confide? He could confide in and they would counsel him in righteousness? But for 120 years, until God's judgment came, Noah and before, he stood his ground. He lived by faith. And he was counted righteous because he heard and did the will of God. He was a success in the face of peer pressure. And his family is influenced by him just as well. As his children are named there also. And his wife. So, it can be resisted. We don't have to join in with the evil pressures around us. Then there's Aaron in Exodus 32. Oh, Aaron, you know, the people, 40 days after God had said, "Don't make any graven image," from the mountain, they heard His voice. Moses is on the mountain for 40 days, and the people say, "We don't know what's happened to Moses. Make us a god, Aaron, to go before us." And Aaron said, "Well, give me your earrings and your gold and bring them to me." And he would later tell Moses, "Well, you know the people. You know how they are. You know, they're set on evil." And so they said, make us a gods to go before us. And I said, well, give me a gold, and I threw it in the fire, and this calf came out. He yielded to the pressure. He yielded to the pressure. You think his life would have been in jeopardy if he didn't? Very likely. They were ready to kill Moses on more than one occasion. Aaron, and you know, Moses rebuked him, right? He said, what did this people do to you that you've brought so great a sin upon them? What did they do? What did they do to you? Well, they pressured him, and he yielded. But a success we can find in Joshua and Caleb. When they went to spy the land and came out and said, it's a great land, it's a fruitful land, there's strongholds, there's big people, strong people there, but God will give us a victory. 10 spies said, no, we can't take the land. We're just grasshoppers in their sight. They're too strong, too fortified, too secure. Joshua and Caleb stood up against the spies and against the people. And the people are ready to stone them to death. That's what we sing when we sing, dare to stand like Joshua. That's what we're talking about. To stand against the mob for what is right. Christians, we're going to have to do that. Sadly, we're going to have to do that, it seems, in our nation. We're going to have to do that as Christians in every aspect of our life. And in as God's people, we've got to stand for what's true, what's right. The Jewish rulers in the day of Jesus, they failed. It says, even among the rulers, many believed on Jesus. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, because they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. And there's the key right there, is when the pressure comes, what is more valuable to us? Being accepted by God or being accepted by men? They loved the praise of men. They didn't want to give up their position of prestige, of prominence. And if they confessed Christ, they'd be pushed out of the synagogue. They wouldn't be allowed to remain. The Pharisees were seeing to that. So they didn't confess Jesus. Peer pressure. You know, Peter is one of the examples of a moment of failure concerning peer pressure as he three times denies the Lord. Now, what contributed to that? In part, I mean, we could several ways we can answer that, but Peter entered that situation overconfident. I'll never deny you, Jesus. Overconfidence can become the breaking point when the pressure comes. When we are so sure, we are so fixed. He said, I'll die with you. Didn't take much. Just took a little girl saying, well, you were one of them, for him to deny Jesus. Just a little girl. Then some people around the fire. Didn't take much. Peer pressure. Sadly, Peter failed on that occasion, but the Lord forgave him. He repented. The Lord forgave him. See, we don't have to stay in that position. And later, many of the priests obeyed the gospel in Acts 6. Those Jewish rulers, some of them, they were persuaded by the gospel and were saved. So we can repent of yielding to peer pressure, but it will take repentance, change of heart and life. Of course, Jesus is the prime example of overcoming peer pressure. There, when he's arrested, all of his disciples abandon him and flee. And all the way to the cross, he stands alone against all of those pressures and shows us that it can be done. He shows us the way. So what we're describing here is God is calling us to dare to be different and to have the courage to be right. To be right in God's sight. In Joshua 24:14 and 15, at the end of his life, as he speaks to Israel. He said, "Now therefore, fear the Lord. If we're going to overcome the pressures of the moment, fear the Lord. Serve Him in sincerity and in truth, with genuine hearts, abiding in truth, and put away the gods that your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord." So fear and serve. Put away sin and serve. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, if it seems that you're going to have calamities because you serve the Lord, then you choose. Choose for yourselves this day whom you serve. The gods your father served on the other side of the river, the gods of the Amorites here among you now. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. A choice. You see, the choice when the pressure comes is the choice to have the courage of faith and conviction to withstand the pressure. To withstand the pressure. It's easy to stand with a crowd. It takes courage to stand alone. Elijah stood on Mount Carmel alone against 850 false prophets and the people surrounding him who wouldn't say a word. One man with God, of course, won the day. But there was a lot of pressure. Micaiah in 1 Kings 22, I believe, there later in the book of 1 Kings, stood against 450 of the false prophets who were all telling King Ahab, go and fight the battle, Jehoshaphat, go and fight against the enemy. One man, he stood against their deceptions, their lies. They weren't honoring God. So how are we going to do that? How are we going to have the courage and conviction to stand against this LGBTQ pressure or a religious pressure or some other kind of intimidation to get us to compromise our faith, our values, and our obedience to God? Well, let's decide ahead of time what our answer is going to be. We've got to decide ahead of time, and then we've got to reinforce that. And you know that, and realize that when we give God's answer, that it's going to it may well produce conflict. That there's going to be pressure to get you to yield. What is truth? What is righteousness? When the pressure is to compromise moral purity, count it an honor to stand with Jesus. Stand alone. If, like Joseph. Joseph's an illustration. He stood alone against pressures that put him in prison because he had the honor and the faith not to yield to the pressure of the moment. Count it an honor to stand alone when you're pressured to drink or do drugs or be immoral. Count it an honor to be ridiculed for being a Christian, for standing for sound doctrine, for thus saith the Lord. Because you see, even among those who name the name of Christ will sometimes ridicule us because we ask for Bible authority. We ask for what God's Word says. Look at Ephesians 6 with me for a minute. We'll go to that passage. Familiar one again. But here's the application for us. Be strong, brethren, in the Lord and in the power of His might. Why? He said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You see, peer pressure is one of His schemes. It's one of the things He uses to chip away at our strength and our resolve. It's a spiritual battle. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this age, the spiritual hosts of wickedness. It's going to take courage to say, I'm not a bigot because I have a conviction about one man and one woman for life, about heterosexual relationships, that homosexuality is sin. I'm not a bigot when I stand that ground, when I say that transgenderism is a perversion of God's order of gender. I'm not homophobic or transphobic or any of those things. This is a truth that I stand upon. This is the ground, this is the hill that we fight upon. The hill of truth, of God's will. It's a spiritual battle. We need to see that. Politically it's a left battle and a right battle and a red and blue battle, but it's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle for souls. You say, well, for the soul of the nation? I say for the soul of the child. For the soul of the person. The child, for the adult, for the parent. That's where the battle is. The worldly going to be worldly. We have to fight one at a time this battle and not yield to the pressure of the mob. We need to set and keep the priorities that we speak about often. Seek first the kingdom of God. So seek it. When the world says, use this pronoun, or you're going to be bullied, you see. That's the paradox, isn't it? In their desire not to be bullied, they bully everybody else that doesn't accept what they want them to accept. That's the paradox. That's the reality. We've got to set and keep our priorities. If any man suffer as a Christian, Peter said, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name. Dare to be different. Christians are different. I mean, that is the hallmark of following Jesus. You stand out. You are different. Now, we as Christians need to accept that and glorify God in that difference. To not be like the world. To obey God rather than men. Acts 5:29. So, we've got to pay the price of being a Christian. You see, from heaven's standpoint, He required the death of the Son of God for us to be saved, to be a Christian. From the earth's viewpoint, it's going to require our faithful self-denial. Jesus said, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Deny myself. That means I've got to deny the acceptance of maybe people who are very dear to me. But I've got to desire the acceptance of Jesus more. Take up my cross. I've got to accept that burden, that trial of others pressuring me not to follow the Lord Jesus. That's what He wants us to do. Follow Him, He says. Because He says, to gain the whole world and lose our soul is futile. Paul said, the things that were gained to me, I've counted loss for Christ. If we're going to dare to be different, if we're going to be courageous for what is right, what is truth, then we've got to give up the past. We've got to set a value that what was once valuable, that's no longer important. Being accepted for a while by people here and being rejected by God because of my sin against my God, because I reject God, that's not a good trade. So, courage and conviction, our godly priorities must be established and kept, and we've got to pay the price of being separated by the world. And after all, we're to be sanctified, set apart to God. The world wants to set you apart as the sinner, but God says you separate yourself from the sinner, the sin that they're involved in. So we've got to desire God's approval. Paul said, am I now trying to please men or God? Some point in the pressure, we've got to fundamentally say, I'm going to please God. I'm going to seek His approval and in humility listen to His Word and follow His Word and not be afraid of what others say or think or do toward us. See, that's the pressure point, is we get afraid of people. That's why Jesus said, don't fear men. They can kill your body, but they can't kill your soul. They can't really kill you. So don't be afraid, He said. Confess me before men, and I'll confess you before the Father. The solution is not be ashamed of Jesus. Mark 8:38. He says, really, do not be ashamed of... Jesus said, whoever's ashamed of me and my words, I'll be ashamed of him in the last day. So don't be ashamed of Jesus and His Word, because that marks out what the truth of the matter is. And instead of yielding to the pressure of the world, its intimidations, its tactics of manipulation, let's see clearly and be wise to see these are the sinner's enticements that Satan uses to try to destroy us, and simply say, we will not yield to that. We will not give in to that kind of pressure. And instead, be like Noah. Be like Joshua. Be like Jesus. And in God, have the victory in this struggle against the world, against darkness, and the sin that destroys so many souls. So, this comes right down to the invitation of the gospel. What's keeping you from obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is it because you want to please somebody else more than God? Or yourself more than God? What's the pressure? Is it that you're afraid of what others might say of you or think of you if you obey the gospel? Is there a pressure being pushed upon you? Are you ashamed of Jesus and His words? If that's true, you can choose differently tonight. You can choose to not be afraid. You can choose not to be ashamed. You can choose that you want God's approval. By faith, confessing His name, repenting and being baptized into Christ, and then obeying His gospel, living His will, accepting that pressures will come to try to pull us away, but with faith and devotion and endurance in Christ, the reward of heaven is not only in sight, it's secure in Jesus Christ. Won't you obey the gospel? Won't you do His will while we stand and sing?